calibrate your plots. Coming over with a toolkit, baby. Opportunity knots. I want to check your circuits. Fix the old fuse box. Oh, baby. You need some special service. I can do it all. I want to grease your bearings, make them roll just right. Loosen up your pulleys. You got them way too tight. Gonna make a few adjustments, baby. It could take all night. I want to check your pressure. You need your pressure. Only Mr. Fancy. I'm the one to call. You need some special service. You can read my paper. Don't keep it on the shelf. I'll be right over there, so won't have to do it yourself. I wanna light your burner, make it nice and hot.
Live from Top 61 Bangs Avenue, right in the heart of downtown Asbury Park, New Jersey, USA. It's Restored by the Shore, a show dedicated to bringing you the ideas and the people who are helping this city to rise from ruin. And now your host, who knows how to ask those questions, whatever those questions may be, the astounding and unpredictable Maureen Nevin. And now here is Maureen.
Things are unpredictable, aren't they, Bob?
Unpredictable.
Jobs are unpredictable, they really are.
Absolutely.
But, and that's why we need planners so doggone desperately.
Planning is everything, right?
Because otherwise it's all unpredictable.
Planning and prep is 75% of the work.
Do you like that segue?
Absolutely.
And,
speaking of planning,
we have Katie McDowell with us tonight. Oh, you thought I was going to say John Clark, didn't you? We have Katie McDowell, who was so well planned. Her mom waited a year to try and get her going. And she's 12 years old now. That was a long time ago.
Whoa, very good.
And that's my prodigy there, my little grandson.
This is your radio personality prodigy.
That's right. And she's going to be doing some sponsors later on for us.
Oh, very good.
And she's a pretty good announcer. She could do all three times if she wanted to, but we'll see about that. But actually, no, the reason we discussed planning here at the Open is because we have a wonderful planner with us tonight, who I think is getting pretty positive feedback. I don't know. I didn't go to the second meeting this week. John Clark is with us tonight from Clark, Caton, Hintz, Eichenkranz.
Erin Krantz.
X.EQ. That's X.EQ, huh? Okay, it's spelled E-C-K-S-T-U-T. X.NQ Architects. And where are you based?
Well, we have offices in Trenton and in New York City.
Okay, and I do have a request from someone to give your mailing address, if you want to give that, and then we'll give it again later.
In Trenton, it's 400 Sullivan Way, Trenton, New Jersey. The zip is 08628.
Okay, and then New York is?
New York is 4 West 4th Street, New York City, 10003.
That's a great neighborhood, isn't it? West 4th Street.
Yeah.
Positively 4th Street, right? As Bob Dylan used to say.
Positively
4th Street, hey, baby, yeah. Anyway, this is a serious night because we're going to be talking about the plans.
And this is a serious discussion.
The ocean front.
And it also is a call-in show here at WYGG 88.1 FM. And if you'd like to call in, the lines are open. You can call in.
Well, I don't know if they're open yet.
Possibly they may not.
Well, Rob will talk to you for a while because we have to do the sponsors yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, they may not be open yet, but.
But they can call in.
You can certainly call in a try. 775-0821 and 775-6203.
As I said, the topic tonight is something about the oceanfront redevelopment, and we'll be talking about the key planner for that project. But first, we want to thank our sponsors, and I actually have a little ad for myself tonight.
It's more ad for yourself.
It's my dime, and I'm going to get this ad. This is a word from management. Anyone interested in reading about Munich, Germany, is welcome to read my article published today, shameful self-promotion, as George Hansel would say, entitled Joy with a Purpose. The article in a sidebar about the infamous Dachau concentration camp can be found at bostonherald.com. Click Lifestyle and then scroll down to the titles for the travel section. And I'd be very interested if you could go on the site if you'll send me your opinions. Just write to me at restore881fm@aol.com. I'm real happy that that's up there now. You know, I wrote it several months ago, and I was there like a year ago, so I didn't think it was ever going to see print. It's up there in the pixels.
Very good.
Okay, now we want to thank AsburyPark.net. They are a sponsor of Restore by the Shore. AsburyPark.net is Asbury Park's online community network with news, weather, and city information updated daily. This week you can find the following stories. It's hot off the presses, gang. Here we are.
And those stories are?
Those stories are the budget is set at $27.5 million for Asbury Park.
That's just crazy.
So read the whole budget story. Pete Walton's got it up there. He's a great reporter, by the way. And he has a scoop here. The city has officially decided to allow surfers. So, and that's a scoop for Pete Walton, so you can read about that.
In Wesley Lake?
In Asbury Park at the oceanfront.
Oh, at the oceanfront.
The surfers usually ride waves, Bob.
Well, I just figured they might be in one of the small bodies of
South
water.
Jersey, you didn't know about one.
No, I'm from Red Bank originally.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Rumson.
Yes, actually, I am from Rumson. I was raised in Rumson.
He's just every man. Redevelopment hearings conclude after a 6.5-hour public hearing, and I'm sure John Clark is going to tell us about some of the better moments there, maybe the worst moments there. That story is also up there on AsburyPark.net, and waterfront issues spotlighted on radio shows. Ron Holland had Kate Molina and Carrie Butch, executive director of Asbury Park Consortium and council member Kate Molina on today. On his Let's Talk News, and he mentioned us, which I thought was very nice, and he had a very good show. And Ron and I are probably going to be doing something together next week on the Board of Ed to interview some of the people running for that board. So we'll be doing that during the day. A little extra little moonlighting here.
Uh-huh.
And also, I want to draw your attention, when you go on AsburyPark.net, April and Asbury online photo exhibit by Ruth Bennett, new images of New Jersey, and they're beautiful. They're just lovely. So that's AsburyPark.net, and we're glad to have them aboard. And the hardware store, Asbury Park's very own hardware store, has everything you need for restoring that garden that has been through a long, dry winter. The hardware store has flower and grass seeds, fertilizers, plant foods, gardening tools, and gloves, and expert instruction on all of your outdoor planting needs. Just visit them at 428 Main Street on the corner of Summerfield Avenue, or visit the other location of the hardware store opposite the Superfood Town Shopping Center.
That
almost came out very strange. strangely indeed.
Superfood Town.
That one, the Superfood Town Shopping Center, is right off of Route 35, and the hardware store is right there at the corner at 103 3rd Avenue in Neptune City. The hardware store is open 7 days a week until 6 here in Asbury Park. Call 988-3339, and they're open until 8 o'clock in Neptune City. Call 988-3401. That's area code 732. And now the hardware store is fully automated. Everything is on computer now, so they're more efficient than ever. And listen up, you painters. Finner and Haley, who took over the Felix Fox Paint Store at 600 Grand in Asbury Park, is offering discounts to anyone who orders paint under our show's name. So go in and say, I'm on the Restore by the Shore cash account, and you'll get your discount. Now, they don't actually advertise with us. This is kind of a discount. Now, I want to tell people who go to our Get a Contractor part on our site at RestoreRadio.com, if anybody doesn't know the address. Now, up until now, we have never taken any kickbacks, you know, for putting contractors' names up there. And Bob, believe me, doesn't give us a dime to put his name up there.
Not one dime.
Not one dime. But Jerry Ott, who did my roof and he did my neighbor's roof as well, has offered to give us a commission if somebody should order a roof, contract with him for a roof, because they, you know, mentioned Restore by the Shore. That's how they found out about them.
Great.
So if someone should object to that, I'd like to hear it, you know. I want some feedback on that, but I think it's okay. And I've got a review about Jerry Ott up there on the Get a Contractor page. So go there and see what we have to say about the job he did. And here comes the complaints already. My goodness, I didn't even get the next sponsor. And we want to welcome our newest sponsor, From House to Home, the interior designers with that special eye for the uncommon. Louis Navarette has two locations to make your life easier, 721 Cookman Avenue near Main Street and in the newly renovated Studebaker Building, Thursday through Monday until Memorial Day, when the Studebaker Building goes to 7 days a week. Studebaker's is at the corner of Main Street and 4th Avenue. Interior designer Louis Navarette has a distinctive eye for the exotic piece, the right color, texture, even the fragrance, to create the environment that is uniquely yours. Call 732-869-1231 or write From House to Home at AOL.com. That's 721 Cookman Avenue, Asbury Park, 732-869-1231. Without the support of these sponsors, we wouldn't be able to buy this airtime from WYGG. So we would appreciate it very much if you would tell them how much you appreciate their support of us. It's easy to become a sponsor of Restore by the Shore. Just call me, Maureen Nevin, at 732-774-0779. And take advantage of our web advertising, too. Check out www.restoreradio.com. And click advertise with us. Okay. And, John, you might want to know this. We're talking to John Clark from the planning firm that is doing the plan for the beachfront, for the oceanfront acquisitions people, who are the investors and the lead developers in Asbury Park's redevelopment. Thank you, Bob, for that technical help there.
Maureen's ears are going in and out.
She's
having trouble hearing.
My bunny ears were going in and out. I have my bunny costume on tonight. You can say anything. Go ahead, John. John's a sequins.
The bunny costume. Well, Maureen, years ago, worked at the club, known as the Playboy Club.
That's what I got. The Mad Bunny, the Mad Dog Bunny. This Sunday at 2 p.m., Bradley Beach Public Library. Go out there and see Helen Pike. 4th and Hammond Street. As the first leg of the tour winds up, the Greetings from Asbury Park tour. What is it? Postcard Tour at the Garden State. Great book. Get it. Go on pikebooks.com. John knows about Helen. I can tell he's nodding in a very knowing way.
All the postcards of the seaside resorts.
Right, and
New Jersey.
Hey, you have something coming up for Carrie and I Dream of City. What is it, the 9th? What is it?
I Dream of City?
Yeah, isn't it?
I have something about
Carousel
Horse Project.
Sorry, it's Carousel Horse Project.
Okay.
They're always doing something.
Always busy doing something, but this is a biggie. Anytime you want me to talk about that, I will.
Well, just say April 9th.
April 9th?
Yeah. Where do you want to go? Is it a board meeting, or is it Carousel Horse board meeting? No? Oh, okay. So it's the April 20th, then, that you want to talk about. Okay. Well, we'll say that something's coming up on April 20th, and we'll give them some more information later. How's
good.
That?
No problem.
Okay. All right. We want to say, though, that George Richardson, our wonderful guard downstairs, our security...
In the 601 Bangs Avenue...
601 Bangs.
...building.
...had a heart attack, and we didn't know. Nobody tells us anything.
We hope George is feeling
well. Thank goodness
well,
we don't bill ourselves as a news show. But, But George, you know, we miss your smiling face, and we hope that you get better real soon.
I hope he's feeling well, and let us know how you're doing.
He's a cutie, too. He's easy on the eyes. Okay. Now, John Clark, come on in here and say hello to the people.
Hello.
Hello there. Now, John, you were at the 6.5 hours of meetings open to the public for public comment about the plan. And... What's your overall opinion of how it went? Was it the worst experience you've ever had?
No, I think we got a great deal of citizen participation on both nights. The first night, Andres Duane spoke. I think we had 250 people.
I think the papers said 500 and then 250 on the second night. And I thought it was even more because...
The ballroom was packed.
It was packed. Yeah. And I know that the wedding I attended there, that was not even that crowded. You remember Master P. Marie Pierre's wedding? How many people were at that? Maybe 400? Yeah.
In a comfortable setting, so I'm sure there was quite a few
Yeah, with
more.
Big tables, big round tables. So I imagine maybe even 600.
But that was well attended, though. I mean, there was a variety of people there.
Yeah.
So I think it's that's impressive to see that many people come out about this topic. And I think there were lots of different comments. I think you tend to get in those forms people who speak have an issue or a problem with what's being presented. You don't tend to get as many people speaking who are in support of the plan. So it's a little difficult to judge just on the comments in that kind of form, what kind of support versus what kind of concerns the people have. But I think the fact that you get that many people out, it illustrates that the citizens are very concerned about the redevelopment of the waterfront. It's obviously a huge issue
And I should tell them that the meeting for tonight that was supposed to take place, that planning board workshop tonight that I know a lot of the public wanted to observe, they weren't going to be allowed to participate in it, but it had to be postponed. And so do not go to City Hall tonight at 7 o'clock. They forgot to advertise it. Public Meeting Act.
Public Meeting, you must advertise, correct.
Right, and but the plan, another thing to keep in mind is that the Planning Board recommendations from the public are due tomorrow before 4 o'clock.
That's right.
So you have to put them in writing and you have to get them over to City Hall, probably to Terry Walden or Steve Kay.
I think they said to the City Clerk.
Okay, so Steve Kay could receive the city clerk and just ask anybody where the city clerk is and hand it to them with the name on there, city clerk. Okay, and they'll all
put
be taken.
Put your name and address. Whoever's submitting the comments should put their name and address on the comments.
Great, and what's going to happen to those comments? I mean, will they, people were understandably a little skeptical. What do you think? What's the process?
The redevelopment process, which Asbury Park is following, is established by state law, and it requires that the planning board hold a hearing on the proposed plan, which they have done within the two nights of hearings, and they have listened to the testimony of citizens. They've listened to a presentation about the plan, but then they listen to the questions, issues, comments raised by the citizens. They'll now have at least one workshop session, maybe more, and the planning board will discuss amongst themselves first an issue about how does this plan relate to the city's master plan, and then they can make comments about virtually anything else they want to, and they will assess what the citizens said, and they'll make their own assessment of the plan based on their seeing the presentation and reading.
So the council will read all of these?
The planning board.
And the planning board gets to read these, okay.
Right.
The ones that you drop off for tomorrow.
That's right. Okay. I mean, we're dealing with now with the planning board. And then the planning board will compose a series of comments that it wants to pass back to the city council. And these comments about the draft plan will go back to the city council. And it's ultimately the city council who will decide whether to adjust the plan to reflect the comments or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually the final action is that the plan is adopted by the city council. The planning board does not adopt a redevelopment plan. It just reviews it and makes comments on the plan back to the city council. The city council can accept those comments or reject them.
Mm-hmm. But the planning board actually brings to this their knowledge of the planning process and the laws governing the planning board functions, right?
Yeah, there are. So the planning board has had a lot of experience dealing with planning issues in the city. They are the board that's charged with developing the city's master plan, and they will comment on the redevelopment plan as it relates to the master plan,
mm-hmm.
whether it's in compliance or not. And then they'll pass those comments back to the city.
And I understand Jim Higgins, is the planner who will be reviewing the zoning board applications and that sort of thing?
Jim Higgins is a consultant planner for the planning board. And when the development gets to the stage that there are actual site plan approvals, I imagine that Jim Higgins will play his role as a technical review of those submissions before they go to the planning board. But we're some ways away from that stage, yeah.
Okay, but I understand that he has reviewed some things already, right?
I would imagine that he's reviewed the draft of the redevelopment plan as it's been submitted, and I expect mm-hmm. that he'll be one of the people assisting the planning board in their review of the redevelopment plan as it relates to the city's master plan. It was a master plan done for Asbury Park in 1994. It makes some references to the redevelopment plan, and they'll be looking at those references.
Now, that was being revised, too, by Shore and De Palma, right?
There was a re-examination report in 1991, which I think is still in a draft form.
No, that's not the one I'm referring to. This was more recent.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. In 2001.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think as far as I know, the re-examination report done in 2001 by Shaw De Palma hasn't been adopted, so that the current adopted plan is still the 1994 plan.
Okay. I'm not sure what that means, I mean, for going forward, but...
Well, in the redevelopment plan, as part of the development of the redevelopment plan, all of the city's master plan documents were reviewed. And there is a reference in the 1994 master plan that when the redevelopment plan for the waterfront is revised, the density of development should be reduced and the height of the buildings that were allowed under the 1991 redevelopment plan should be
right.
reduced. And in this new redevelopment plan for the waterfront, both those things have been taken into consideration. The residential density in the prime development area has been reduced about 25%. The commercial development has been reduced. And the height, the maximum height of structures has been reduced from 14 stories to 8.
Okay. Well, I wanted to clarify something as far as the structure of this process, because I, for one, expected that we would have a planner who would represent the developer and a planner who would represent the city.
And that's basically what happened.
Well, so who's the planner that represents the city, though?
Andreas Duany. Duany Platter Thodberg, a firm from Miami.
Okay. In my feeling about where Dwani came in. It was kind of, he was an auxiliary person who came in to give us another point of view on his opinion of the Clark or Fishman. How do we refer to this plan, the current plan? Some people call it the Fishman plan.
No, really, we ought to say that this is the draft of the city's plan. And the process that went on, first, the city retained a planner from Philadelphia, and that happened simultaneously with the point of time that we were hired by Oceanfront Acquisitions, and we worked simultaneously with that planner.
That was Brown and Keener?
That's right. Subsequently, Brown and Keener was replaced by Andreas Dwani. The work that is in that's in this plan is a combination of efforts, specific pieces and parts that Andreas added to the plan, parts that we added or responsible, and we worked back and forth with his office, and the plan that is there now is an amalgam of both of the points of view. And throughout this process, the city council had a great deal of involvement. So there are many hands that have contributed to this plan. It represents, I think, the consensus of all the professionals who worked on it to date, and the public officials who've been a part. And along the way, there's been a lot of other citizen participation. We had meetings before we started.
Open meeting.
And Andreas was here for 8 days and ran his charrette. And then subsequently, we've had other meetings.
Give us the definition of charrette for the people who are not reading it in the paper, local papers here every day, and are tuning in over the web to listen to the show in a couple of days.
Yeah, charrette has come to mean, and it's a term used by architects and planners a lot, means an intense period of work on a specific topic. And it comes from the Ecole des Beaux-Arts in Paris, when architects who were in training would be in a wagon, what they called a charrette, drawing the last little details on their designs on the way to their critiques.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the word. But it's become this idea that
Emile Zola-like.
a participatory process involving citizens and professionals focusing on urban planning problems over, very concentrated over a short period of time.
Okay, I just wanted to give people a little bit of an idea of how this came about, because the scuttlebutt is, and whether or not you want to accept the scuttlebutt or you want to go the party line or whatever, but for people out of town who are listening, I got a call from a woman in Sussex County the other day, and she was frantic because she didn't know how she was going to be able to listen to the show that Ron Holland was doing. And I said, well, you can listen to our show in a couple of days up on the site on RestoreRadio.com. But a lot of people from out of the area who are planning on buying houses here are following this very closely. But anyway, the scuttlebutt is that Brown and Keener were kind of giving the critique that was kind of a polite critique of the other planner's project, and kind of some people felt that it was just too much of a yes, yes, and not enough controversy. They wanted, somebody to go in there and kind of not necessarily an adversarial role, but, kind of make sure that there was balance. Okay, and that's the best way of putting it. So what happened next? They were released from the contract, and Andreas, who everyone probably knows by now, is the Miami-based planner who couldn't get the Berkeley Carteret to serve in grape nuts, by the way.
I guess that's the general complaint, that they don't
right.
have grape nuts.
That's right. Got to get some breakfast rustled up over there. And he was favored, I was told, by John Lafredo. And John, if that's wrong, call in and correct us. And but Dwani is a geographical undesirable who basically did a very rushed, quick study of the Clark plan and made his recommendations in like 1 week in Asbury and then a couple of weeks reflecting from Miami. And he came back here this week to speak again on the plan. And so basically everybody's been asking, well, who is our planner, though? And, you know, Jim Higgins is, I guess, is kind of as close as we get to having a planner who is the city's planner. And on the ground here, I think he's local. I think he's in Ocean Township, and I think Terry Weldon put his name forth. And he's reviewing the plan. He's not reviewing the plan now, but he is reviewing site plans and zoning applications in connection with the redevelopment plan. And that will be his role, as far as I know. If that's not true, people should call in. And Bob, what are those numbers?
Of course those numbers are 775, and you can call in right now. 775-0821 and 775-6203 right here on WYGG 88.1 FM.
I thought we might... Thank you for that.
You're quite welcome.
I thought we might listen to Lee Sanna do his... Yep, while we're doing the sponsors. Bob was looking
at the clock. That sounds good. I'm keeping an eye on the clock. Maureen keeps rolling on.
He's a silent movie star.
Today, numero.
The one that's Only Love Can Turn This Mess Around, because I think that's so appropriate. John is laughing. Can't hear him, but he is.
Okay.
We want to thank our sponsors, the Hardware Store in Asbury Park in Neptune City, which has grass seed and equipment and a full line of Jonathan Green turf products for the greenest lawn in town. Call 988-3339 for the Hardware Store on Main Street in Asbury Park, and call 988-3401 for the Neptune City location of the Hardware Store, and that is directly across from the Superfood Town Shopping Center on Route 35, and that's Route 35 South, heading south. And you can call the Neptune City Store at 988-3401. Our new sponsor is the AsburyPark.net.
AsburyPark.net, internationally known.
News and views. And
well known.
I have to kind of backtrack here to get Lewis
around
again,
the world.
I only put Lewis.
We're talking about grass seed, though, Maureen, that right now we could use a lot of that grass seed right there between Kingsley and Ocean Avenue. There's a lot of open, expansive areas where they could plant some grass in the meantime before anything gets built.
That's true. We'll talk to Henry about that. We'll take it up with Henry. And we want to welcome our newest sponsor from House to Home, the interior designers with that special eye for the uncommon. Lewis Navarette has two locations to make your life easier, 721 Cookman Avenue near Main Street and in the newly renovated Studebaker Building. And that is open Thursday through Monday now until Memorial Day, and then they'll go full-time. Studebaker's is at the corner of Main and 4th Avenue. Interior designer Lewis Navarette has a distinctive eye for the exotic piece, the right color, texture, even the right fragrance to create the environment that is uniquely yours. Call 732-869-1231 or write from house to home. That's all one word, from house to home at AOL.com. Visit them, as I say, at 721 Cookman Avenue. Okay. And we're listening to, we've got a caller here. The height of the building. Yeah, I have that question down here, too. Did this caller want to pose this question? Okay. Good evening, and welcome to Restore by the Shore. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Maureen. It's Carol Torrey.
Hi, Carol.
I have a question, and I apologize to Mr. Clark because I didn't make the meeting on Tuesday night. So I don't know if this was addressed or not. In looking at the plan, I see we have three-story buildings, four-story buildings, eight-story buildings, and it's all around the perimeter of a block.
That's right.
I get the feeling when I see that conceptually, I almost think like Kingsley will be like a cavern effect driving down with all this massive building. Whereas in the old plan, you had a 12 or 14 story building. While it was high, it was a little sleeker. And I thought it might have left more open spaces.
Well,
it's like West End where that Renaissance is going up. I mean, that's a mess that just covers the whole land all the way to the ocean. And while it's not high, it's intense.
Carol, would you like to hang up so we can answer that question?
Sure.
Okay, great. Thanks, thank you.
Carol. You know, I want you, if you would, to address another point about that same question, the statue the park, you're going to have that go around. People want to know, what about the buses? There's a concern about that. Mm-hmm. And I think Carol's was also the line of vision, I guess she was talking about.
As opposed to that Grand Canyon look?
Yeah, and also Helen Pike, everybody's figuring in on this. She says, ask him about the feasibility of installing an underground public parking garage beneath Bradley Park. No parent is going to want his kids to play in pea gravel dotted with oil droppings of automobiles. One, he obviously doesn't have kids, otherwise he wouldn't have made that remark about the park's redesign. And parking, regardless of who will make Convention Hall successful or not, will be a problem. Asbury Park was not designed for the amount of cars it has now. And as soon as you finish your discussion, we want to come back to this because there is an action that we can take that we need to talk to City Hall about getting them to move on it, and we'll explain what that's about, but it directly relates to the parking problem in town.
Well, let's deal with the height of the building. And I think that the model that was made that illustrates the design is the best visual evidence that the design will not create a canyon along Kingsley. You can see in the model how we can vary the heights of the buildings and how we can break the scale of the buildings down, and that was a big concern. And I think that keeping the buildings to no higher than the Berkeley Carteret was a very important thing to do. We found a lot of support for that, and I don't think we found anyone who supported keeping the old 14, 16 story height. So I think the redesign is a much better approach to that.
But the C8 will be higher than the Berkeley Carteret because
the C8, if it is restored, will be. But we're not, we're not sure whether the C8 will be restored. There are they've had some proposals to take it down. So we're
really
C8 is still
open. That's interesting. I didn't know that was still open.
Yeah, okay. it's still an issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and now as far as this Bradley Park design, that the bus drivers are already complaining that they're going to have to go around it and go down.
If you look at the plan, you see in the thoroughfare standards that there was a great deal of work done about looking at the widths of traffic lanes. And one thing about downtown or waterfront Asbury Park today, you got these, landing strips for streets. I mean, this is the most bizarre, the first lights that change every on the half hour, and then these, landing fields for streets.
Yeah, they have slow lights. Good God.
So we and the traffic planner Henry Ney, who's a very respected traffic planner, have looked at all of the widths, and we can tell you absolutely that the turning radiuses and all that we propose work. And you can have the proposals for Bradley Park. I think there is some controversy about that. Those ideas came largely from Andreas. We'll be looking at those as the process goes along, and there may be some adjustments made.
And how about parking underneath it? Would that be feasible? Could you do it?
Well, as architects and engineers are fond of saying, you can do anything. All you need is the money. Underground parking in a location like this, where you have a very high water table,
yeah,
the spaces would be fabulously expensive. So, theoretically, we could do anything, but the reality is there's no way that anyone could allocate enough money to do that kind of thing.
Now, what about at the end of Deer Lake Drive, which is very close to my heart because I live right off of it, you have on the plan, there's a building, I want to ask you about the height of that building too, but it looks as though there is this kind of triangular piece here, and that this is, I was told that was an underground garage, or a garage with a grassy stretch on top.
All the garages we propose are above ground, ground level, and one or two levels, but they're never below grade because they wouldn't be financeable.
But that site is going to feature one of those with a grassy top on it.
Right, there'll be always the top is landscaped.
Oh, very nice. And now, what's the height of that building? The one, there's a rather high building that faces west.
Right. The idea was that the existing very high-rise elderly housing, which I guess is called Asbury Towers.
Right. Right.
And this is, what, 23 stories, you know, very awkward, out-of-scale, stark building. And we felt that, and Andreas felt that, if we could build some lower-scale buildings around that, buildings that are similar in height to the buildings that are along Deal Lake, the Santana?
Santander?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, Santander. Buildings about that high and maybe a little lower, that if we put some of these in front of the Asbury Towers, we could give this building some context and make the view from a long Deal Lake, in effect, block out some of that building, and at the same time, develop what could be a very beautiful site for housing because it would have the views of the lake and have views out to the.
Now, where would that go? Would that be on the vacant lot that's there now?
It goes on the
macadam.
There's a macadam parking lot there,
okay.
And we would relocate that parking.
Now, what about the building, though, that's to the side of Senior Tower, proposed to the side, where that triangular parking is now?
It would, you know, so the proposed buildings would step down from 8 stories to 6 stories, then to townhouse height as they come around.
So that would be a 6-story building there,
right.
At the end of the block.
Yeah, and that's
okay.
Very similar to the building heights of the apartments that are along Deal Lake now.
Okay.
It seems like that's a very crucial and critical issue. Are the flow of the heights of the buildings in direct correlation to a lot of the buildings that are present and how they want that flow to occur, let's say, from that feathering effect of Old Asbury to, I guess, what you call the redevelopment zone.
Right.
It seems to be a very critical issue at this point, opposed to even any design, I guess, at this point.
Well, the whole theory of this thing was that at Ocean Avenue and along the boardwalk, the buildings would be low, 2 or 3 stories, and they would rise up to, you know, rise up to mid-rise buildings, be 6 or 8 stories by the time they get to Kingsley, and then make a descent back down so that by the time they get to Berg and Webb Street, they'd be at the 2-3 story height of the existing neighborhoods. And that, so by doing that, you moved the density that was in the old plan much closer to Ocean Avenue, moved that back, and that seems to produce a more homogeneous, more congenial way of putting the new development into the context of the existing fabric. And then again, along Wesley Lake, the buildings would be low, and then they would rise up as they come back towards Cookman. And Cookman has, you know, fairly tall buildings on it. It's a much more urban kind of street, and so that seemed to be appropriate too.
Now, what about, this is another question from Helen, by the way, Helen Pike, greetings from New Jersey, I want to say Asbury Park. She asked about Esther's Place, the apartment house along Fifth Avenue in Kingsley. She says that for some reason this is hardly ever mentioned. Do you know whether that's going to come down or... nobody talks about the residents, whether they're going to have to go, or is it going to stay, go condo, or what?
You know, I have most of this plan in my head, but I must say I can't picture that building.
Because I brought the book along. Does it help if I give you this? And maybe we keep getting a lot of phone rings. I don't know. People are hanging up. I don't know. Maybe we have technical difficulties. I don't know. But we do want to talk about, let me explain while John is looking that up. On the parking, Garrett Giverson, head of the Public Works Department, apparently put forth the suggestion that developers or builders have their parking obligations waived in return for a contribution to a public parking garage. The problem is that there is no mechanism in place with the council right now to direct these monies into this kind of program, so the builders, therefore, aren't contributing to it. And this is kind of a golden opportunity right now. These people are getting the waivers from the planning board to go ahead, even though the parking problem is not, you know, the solution is not being built into their approvals. We don't want this to go on. And the council needs to be nudged a little bit and getting moved on this so that they can come up with a piece of documentation, whether it's an ordinance or whatever it is, to get this plan in place so that the planning board can use it then to say, okay, you can do, or the zoning board, yes, you can do this. You know, you can have your obligation to provide parking spaces waived, but in return you have to contribute $1,500 or whatever it is for the building of this public garage. Okay, now we're back to John Clark.
Well, the development of these blocks, the private developers will be required under the redevelopment plan to provide their own parking, and they'll want to do that. They'll want to, and they'll be able to produce the structured parking spaces at less cost than it could be produced by a public entity. The reason that parking authorities are used in cities, in New Jersey cities, on occasion is that they're a route to tax-exempt financing. But the offset for that is then that the buildings are built through public bid processes, which typically make the building more expensive. You'll find in this kind of context that the housing developers will be more than willing to build this parking, and they'll have to do it as a condition of their financing. They'll need to own the spaces. They won't their banks won't accept them being in a public garage.
Well, these are the larger ones, the larger builders. But I think part of the problem is that there are a lot of people who have been in town for a while. Maybe they own an establishment downstairs and they want to put some lofts upstairs and maybe rent out some of their space to retail on the ground floor, which means cars, cars, cars. And it kind of comes under the wire of a major, you know, the requirements of a major developer.
In the cases like on Cookman Avenue, where you have a collection of relatively small developers working on individual buildings, then the common public garage makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, and we need to get that piece of law in place in order for those monies to be collected for those purposes, and to get the monies contributed. Because one of the things that people haven't been mentioning lately is that it's not just you hear all the time 3,164 units, new units, residential units, and, you know, so many 3,000 parking spots or something. And, you know, but if you think about it, we're not just dealing with new people coming into town. We're talking about the rebirth of a city that has a lot of venues that will draw people from out of town, especially, you know, and a lot more often than they are now. Once the city looks nicer and it's got a much more appealing kind of a, you know, people feel more secure to come here, and it'll just be a nicer venue. You know, how are we going to put cars from all those people?
The city is blessed because of these flared streets, which produce a great deal of parking. This district has 2,900 surface parking spaces, which is more than enough to support the entertainment venues and a very vibrant commercial district. You know, there'll be enough parking here, and there is on the other hand, there, and Andreas made a big point of this in his discussion, there's a limit to how much parking any place can provide, because at some point, all you do is provide parking, and, you know, you have Jones Beach. That's not in anybody's, not in the city's interest, so you got to find this balance. Right now, in downtown, in the waterfront in Asbury Park, there's no parking problem, because there's nothing there.
If you're in town when the wave, what is it, the warp tour with the skateboarders is in town?
This is a one afternoon, one day event. That's not going to produce a viable city. It doesn't produce any context. Nobody, you know, comes to that pays taxes. You're trying to create a a total environment that will be attractive. Where the plan provides more than adequate parking for both residential and commercial use and the entertainment venues.
Mm.
We've had a lot of parking experts and transportation people look at this at the plan. I feel very confident about what we're proposing.
You don't want it to look like the Meadowlands.
Right, I mean, that's a good example.
Yeah. but I think that we do need to start thinking about some parking garages, maybe with jitneys or something, to bring people, you know, from one part of town to the other. Even the beach would be nice. I mean, Belmar, I always hated going to the Belmar Beach because you had to schlep your stuff, you know, maybe 10, 15 blocks to the beach. If they had a little jitney, I think it would be a lot better.
I remember as a kid coming here, and if you weren't here by 10:30, quarter to 11 in the morning, that you were parking closer beyond Grand Avenue, closer to Main Street, but you just utilized the off streets, the street parking. And that was in the years when 55,000-60,000 people on a weekend. And that was standard procedure. There weren't the facilities at that point. I am understanding what Mr. Duane is saying when he's saying that's it, and when you're at the full capacity. I mean, we're not in the business of creating parking lots for endless numbers of people to come to the city. And I could understand at that point from years ago in the past history that suffice. I don't know if that'll be the case with this new development.
Well, and the other point is you want the people who are coming on the weekends from the beach to walk past the stores, walk past the restaurants. Yeah, there's no real advantage to making that person's trip here is really so convenient that they can park, you know, right next to the boardwalk and just walk onto the beach. Really, you want them to walk past the stores and restaurants and buy something and see what's going on in the town and have more of an experience. And the beach is the kind of draw that people will walk some distance to. You know, there are certain kinds of events that people will walk longer to, and the beach is one of them. And especially if the streets are attractive streets with shops and stores, then this walk doesn't seem to be such a burden.
Exactly.
The burden is if I'm in the Meadowlands and 27,000 parking spaces, I'm going to walk.
Walking like cars, right?
4 miles. Right. That's a problem.
Right. But walking past beautiful homes,
in here.
Different story.
We've got Werner waiting online here.
Yes.
We also have the sponsors to do yet, as
okay.
Katie reminds me.
I'm not sure what question you
Werner,
ask.
Werner, do you have a quick question? Werner, do you have something that you could phrase rather quickly because we have to do our sponsors yet?
Well, hi. How's
hi.
Everybody?
Great. How are you, Will?
Good evening.
I've been finding the discussion very interesting.
Oh,
very
good.
Thank you.
And, thank you.
I just had three things that I wanted to comment on or ask some questions on. First of all, you had a question about who the city planner is earlier on in the show.
Right.
Yeah. Just for your knowledge and anybody else who may be interested, it's supposed to be the director of zoning and planning, which has been a vacant position since Victor Fermanek left the city's employment.
At what time? When?
That was about 4 years ago. So, technically speaking, we have no city planner officially. Mm-hmm. There's a consultant, obviously, Mr. Higgins, and various other consultants that are hired. But by mm-hmm. convention, the city planner has always been the director of zoning and planning, and that's an unmanned position.
Well, this is no time to have that unstaffed,
yeah,
as it were.
Yeah.
Morning.
Just a little tidbit there. About the parking, you know, I find this parking discussion really fascinating because I really do agree with the new urbanism in making communities walkable and user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have to look at what we have here, and we have the potential to have four major venues all operating simultaneously. The Paramount Theater, the Convention Hall, the casino once it's restored, and then the beachfront itself. And all of that volume, if those are all operating simultaneously, which should be a good thing for cash flow to the city, I have my my concerns about where these people are going to park.
I think
Bob was saying about parking far away and walking.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, a lot of the homes in Asbury, which were single-family with off-street parking, have been converted into multifamily now with on-street parking. So there's going to have to be a trend in the other parts of Asbury outside the immediate blighted area to reclaim a lot of these homes and make them single-family again.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't consider that.
That is a very serious point because you lose that parking and the demand.
Yeah, just look up and down 2nd Avenue, 3rd Avenue, 4th Avenue, just east of Main Street. It's completely parked.
Yeah, we do have to address it and keep on addressing it until we get it resolved.
That's right.
Werner,
One other thing. Let me move on. You have 30 seconds. The height issue. I still have a problem with the heights north of the Berkeley Carteret. I want them taller. I think taller would be more appropriate, and John touched on it earlier, in making the Asbury Tower, which is, I believe, 25 stories, less of a conspicuous point. And I think something scaled up north of the Berkeley would make a lot of sense in order to have that gradual feathering into the tower and the Berkeley to make something contiguous down at the north end up there.
Okay, well, I'm sure that John can consider that now. Thank you, Werner.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye now. John, did you figure out Esther's place or no?
Just
the building, because we left that kind of hanging.
It is on the list of properties that can be acquired.
That can be acquired. So what does it say on the map? Does it show a bigger building or something on the map?
It's part of the development sign, yes.
Like an eight-story or a six or
a... A combination of 4, 6, 8.
Okay, so it's probably going to change.
Right.
Okay. All right, we have... Bob has an announcement about the STARS project that needs contractors and what contractors have to do. As soon as Bob is finished, we're going to go straight to Katie McDowell, who's doing the announcements, the sponsors for us.
Yes, these are construction job opportunities coming to the Asbury Park redevelopment projects that are happening in town. STARS, basically what they want to announce is that this is the time to let city developers know that you are available. And since redevelopment is coming here, the STARS, which is the Strategic Target Area Rebuilding Spirit community-based nonprofit group down in New Jersey's, Asbury Park's west side, wants to ensure that qualified local businesses and residents seeking job training are not left out of the loop. Basically, as part of a subcontractor readiness project, the group is inviting small minority and women-owned businesses, contractors, subcontractors, vendors, tradespeople, and service providers to register for a new database and directory that will be made available to major developers and contractors doing business in and around Asbury Park. Simple as that. You can register, and registration for the free databases will be held on 4 consecutive Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Registration tables will be set up at Asbury Park City Hall on April 20th and at the New Covenant Sounds of Praise Church, 1413 Springwood Avenue, on April 27th. And we will also have two other dates. Registration will also occur at the Westside Community Center, 115 DeWitt Avenue, on May 4th, and again at City Hall on May 11th.
Okay, we'll be announcing this again.
Absolutely.
As we get closer to those dates.
Real quick, both the City of Asbury Park and Oceanfront Acquisitions, Asbury's major beachfront redeveloper, are partnering in this project.
Great. Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
And will you give the mic to...
Real quick about the...
We already mentioned that, the April 20th.
Oh, April 20th, 3 p.m.
Okay.
Yes, that's the unveiling of
the unveiling of the horse.
Of horse, that's right. Here's an answer, yes, at the Stone Pony.
Okay.
Physician Bobby Bandiera will be on hand to entertain.
Okay, and the mic goes to Katie now. And she's going to be doing the sponsors as we go off the air. And we want to thank John Clark for being with us tonight. Thank you, John. And thank you, Master P.
And we'd like to welcome our newest sponsor from House to Home, the interior designers with that special eye for the oncoming. Lewis N. has two locations to make your life easier. 721 Cookman Avenue near Main Street, and in the newly renovated Studebaker building, Studebaker building, Thursday through Monday until Memorial Day, when it goes to 7 days a week. Studebaker's is at the corner of Main Street and 4th Avenue. Interior designers Louis Neverett has a distinctive eye for the exotic piece, the right color texture, even the fragrance to create the environment that is uniquely yours. Call 732-869-1231 or write from house to home at AOL.com. 721 Cookman Avenue, Asbury Park.
Okay, now we're going to go to, is it the hardware store next, or? Yeah, just skip to the hardware store. We'll just go directly there.
The hardware store at 428 Main Street on the corner of
Summerfield
Avenue and Main Street in Asbury Park, and opposite the Super Foodtown Shopping Center in Neptune City. They want you to know that they have plumbing supplies as well as hardware, paints, pails. You'll get it all at the hardware store.
All right.
Fast, friendly, and helpful. The hardware store on Main Street in Asbury Park and in the Super Foodtown Shopping Center, Route 35 in Neptune City. We'll repair those screens in time for the first hot days.
Good information, Kate. On AsburyPark.net, you're just going to check out? Go to the AsburyPark.net and check out the pictures up there on the site, yeah?
Check out April in Asbury Park photos exclusively on AsburyPark.net.
And that's Ruth Bennett. Good for you, Ruth. Okay. And here on Resort by the Shore, we don't interrupt or entertain with annoying fundraisers. We just read commercials to you. So if you want to get us some more commercials, call us at 774-0779, area code 732. And thank you very much, Kate. You can come.